You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that.
Human beings do not do the right thing apart from God's intervention. We always do the phony religious thing. We go with the flow. In Wilberforce's day, going with the flow meant supporting slavery, that Africans are not fully human. In Bonhoeffer's world, in Nazi Germany, it meant supporting the idea that Jews are not fully human. So whom do we say is not fully human today? Who is expendable to us?
Some great questions, by the way. There were questions posed by Eric Metaxas with the president, the vice president, the first lady, and about 4,000 people in a big hotel room during the National Prayer Breakfast last week. And a question kind of left hanging in the air. Some are saying it was a strategic strike. And Eric Metaxas joins us here for the last half hour of Issues, etc., to talk about last week's National Prayer Breakfast and his keynote address there. He's a Yale University grad. He's author of the book Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Martyr, Prophet, Spy, and speaker at the National Prayer Breakfast. Eric, welcome back.
My pleasure.
This is what Mark Joseph had to say about you on National View Online, and bear with me. He says, if the organizers of the National Prayer Breakfast ever wanted a sitting president to attend their event again, they need to expect that any leader in his right mind is going to ask, no demand, that he be allowed to see a copy of the keynote address that is traditionally given immediately before the president's. That's how devastating was the speech given by a little-known historical biographer named Eric Metaxas, whose clever wit and punchy humor barely disguised a series of heat-seeking missiles that were sent, intentionally or not, in the commander-in-chief's direction. Is that what you intended, Eric?
In a word, no. I was kind of amazed at Mark Joseph's take on it. Not because I so much disagree with it, but I just sort of found it funny. I thought, wow, is that how it came across? It's hard for me to know. I meant very much to speak the truth in love, and you cannot really speak the truth any other way. Truth and love are part of the same thing. The character of God is true, and it is full of love. And so even to deliver something that's a difficult message still needs to be done in a way that somehow that the love of God is in it. And I think it's hard for us in the natural as human beings to get that right. Only God can do it. And so I had a lot of people praying. I'll be honest with you. I had a lot of people praying for me, because I said, this is a great honor and a terrible burden. What do you say in a room when you're a few feet away from the President of the United States or the Vice President and the First Lady and Secretary Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi? This is a great burden. What do you say? And I really prayed a lot myself, of course, and asked the Lord to lead me. I knew He would. And everything I said was really said with the hope, at least consciously on my part, that it would speak to their hearts, that it would be an olive branch, and to say, let's reason together. God is for everyone, not just for us religious conservatives, not just for Christians, not just for, God is God. Jesus is Lord over all. And I wanted to communicate with some winsomeness and some grace, and I hope folks will actually listen to the talk. If you go to my website, that's the easiest, which is just my name. It's ericmetaxas.com. But if you go to ericmetaxas.com, I've got links and some amazing photos. I'm still pinching myself that there's a photo of the president holding up my Bonhoeffer book and smiling. I really don't believe that. It looks like somebody photoshopped it, but no, it's a real photo. I gave him the book. There was sort of a funny moment. And there's a photo of me with the president taken by the vice president. That's not a joke. That is true. The vice president, Joe Biden, took my photo, a photo of me standing with the president. And there's a bunch of other stuff on there. But the most important thing, of course, is the link to the C-SPAN 2 video. It's a great video, and you can watch this. It's a short speech. It's 30 minutes or less. But I hope folks will listen to it. They can judge for themselves. I hope that it touched the hearts of those listening, because God is not in the business of just shaming people or embarrassing people. He's in the business of communicating to them because he loves them. And I really, all I can say is I did my best, and I did it as humbly as I could with as much prayer behind me as I could find, because it's a holy burden to speak in such a setting.
Well, one of the things that I would take issue with Mark Joseph's characterization too is he doesn't emphasize necessarily, he could have emphasized more the humility and the respect and the humor with which you were addressing not only the president but everybody there in the room. You used the term early in your address there at the National Prayer Breakfast, speaking truth to power. You used it in the middle of kind of a joke, but it wasn't a joke. Really? What was the truth that you were seeking to communicate, speaking the truth in love and speaking the truth to power?
Well, this is another reason I hope folks will actually watch it, because there's so much. I mean, we're going to print we're going to get the transcript of it out eventually, because there was a lot in there. I'm a fast talker. I grew up in New York City. I live in New York City with my wife and daughter. I talk fast, and I said, I've just got a few minutes to say all these different things, and so there's a lot in there. In the beginning, I was joking around. I said that this is, to charge $175 for a breakfast is price gouging, and it's part of this nefarious scheme, money laundering. I was joking around and just being goofy and stupid at that time of the morning, and I said, so I'm speaking truth to power, but I didn't mean it that way. But of course, I hope to some extent I was actually speaking truth to power, and by power, I don't mean the President of the United States, but the whole assemblage there is a who's who of Washington elites, Supreme Court, Senate, Congress, all cabinet-level people, and many leaders from around the world. And again, it's not something we do flippantly. It's a holy burden if the Lord would allow us to speak to these people. And so I don't take it lightly. It's not just about throwing out sound bites. It's not about just saying what I believe and sticking it to them. It's about taking it really seriously. What would God say? And we all ought to take that seriously when we speak. What does God want to say? Forget about what I would like to say. And I took that very, very seriously and very prayerfully, as I said, and I hope it comes across. The feedback I've gotten has been stunning to me. I can hardly believe the feedback I have gotten. It's had almost 90,000 people have watched it on the C-SPAN link already. I just cannot believe that, but it's true. 90,000 people have watched it, and it's, I've been on the radio talking about it. It really has overwhelmed me. I'm really humbled that God would allow me to be part of something like this.
Eric, you mentioned during your address there at the National Prayer Breakfast, Dietrich Bonhoeffer and William Wilberforce. And we heard this in the open of the show today, that you said, look, in Wilberforce's day, going with the flow meant excluding the slave, not counting them as fully human. And in Bonhoeffer's day, it was the Jew and other ethnic groups. And you asked the question, who is it that we exclude today that we do not consider fully human? What's the answer to that rhetorical question that you gave at the National Prayer Breakfast?
Well, there are many answers. There are many answers to that question. We do it all the time whenever I demonize somebody, whenever I put somebody down. But I was also thinking specifically, and I did mention this in my talk, I was thinking specifically of the unborn. We have said, it's just a bunch of cells. So if it's just a bunch of cells, then I don't have to take it very seriously. I don't have to worry about it. I can get rid of it. It's not murder if it's just a bunch of cells. Well, I believe it's not just a bunch of cells. I believe that there's a human being. And I did say that later in the talk, but I said it again, not in a way meant to condemn. One of my heroes, I mentioned Bonhoeffer and I mentioned Wilberforce. I've written biographies of Bonhoeffer and Wilberforce. And Wilberforce, when he was talking about the slave trade in the British Empire, he said, "We have all been guilty." He didn't say, "You have been guilty." when we speak with the voice of God, we condemn ourselves at the same time that we condemn others. So we cannot do it cavalierly. We're speaking not from a position of moral superiority, but from a position of humility. That's the Christian way. That's when the Holy Spirit is speaking. There's humility and not a pharisaical condemnation of others. And I really feel that it's very important. It's at the heart of the gospel, is that I am chief among sinners, not you. I am chief among sinners. And so I said, apart from the grace of God, those of us who see the unborn as human beings, we would be on the other side of that divide. So we need to be careful. We need to proclaim what is true, but do it with humility, knowing that we're no better than the people on the other side of that divide. That's, to me, at the very heart of what it is to speak God's truth. So it's not just about content, but it's about how we speak the truth.
I think you also very nicely tried to enter the president's wheelhouse a little bit. And you talked about a Christian care for the poor. We've only got about 30 seconds here before the break, but begin a response to that, that along with protection of the unborn and recognizing that comes this hand of mercy that we as a people
Absolutely.
Continue to extend. About 30
yeah.
seconds.
Yeah, no, I, you know, as a fiscal conservative, I disagree with the way the president would go about dealing with the poor. But I agree with the idea that we must help the poor. And I said that by God's grace, we argue about how to help them, not whether to help them. That is settled. We know that those of us who've been blessed need to figure out how can I help those who are struggling. The question is how. But it's important to say in a context like that, to a president like that, that if people don't care about the poor, then they should not talk about God. But if you talk about God, you've got to care about those who are struggling. That's just a fact of the Scripture.
We're talking with Eric Metaxas. He's a Yale University grad, author of the book Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Martyr, Prophet, Spy, and the keynote speaker at the National Prayer Breakfast last week. You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Wilberforce, because he believed what the Bible said and because he obeyed what God told him to do, he changed the world. Today, think of this. My friends, today we argue about how to help the poor. Some say, oh, the public sector, government is the answer. Others say the private sector, free enterprise. But today we argue about how to help the poor, not whether to help the poor. Praise the Lord.
That's Eric Metaxas speaking at the National Prayer Breakfast last week. He's our guest for the last 10 minutes of Issues, Etc., talking about what he had to say there in the presence of the President, the Vice President, the First Lady, the Speaker of the House, and the other luminaries of Washington early in the morning. Eric is author of the book Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Martyr, Prophet, Spy. Eric, you actually handed, I thought it was the cutest moment in the entire address that you had, where you handed the president a spanking brand new copy of your Bonhoeffer book, and he graciously took it with aplomb. I would hope that he would read it. What would you hope that President Obama would learn reading of this man, Dietrich Bonhoeffer?
Well, I mean, there's so much there. There's so much there for all of us, not just for the president. For all of us, the story of Bonhoeffer is a story of a man who really lived the faith out. He didn't just talk about it. He lived it. He was obedient. He was praying, Lord, lead me, show me what to do, and then he did it. We need to hear that. We need to know that God calls us to do that, not just to know what's right, but to live that way. And I just think that, you know, to give the book to the president, I mean, it was meant as a comic moment, and of course I'm you know, I've written for VeggieTales. I've written humor for the New York Times. I like to joke around, and I thought it was a funny opportunity. And if, I hope folks again will watch it, just because there's so many little wacky little moments like that that it was just a joy for me. But my joke, of course, was I said that President George W. Bush had read the book, and we all know he was intellectually incurious because we've been told that. Now I don't believe that for a second. And people knew I was joking when I said that, but I said that, you know, George Bush has read the book. And then I glanced in the direction of President Obama, and I said, no pressure. And then as people were laughing, I pulled out a copy of the book and handed it to him. And again, I said, no pressure. And it really was just, it was a moment to have fun and to, you know, to see the president as a human being. He's got the burdens of the office, and to be able to joke around and it was fun. I didn't expect that the New York Times and other news outlets would take pictures of him holding up the Bonhoeffer book and print it. It's been all over the web. I said, that's just, it's hilarious. A lot of funny things came out of it. As I mentioned earlier, the photo with taken by Joe Biden. Just lots of funny moments. It's all on the video, which folks can see for themselves. But it was a joy. And, of course, on a serious note, I certainly do hope the president will read this book, because I think there's some strange parallels in our day and in the day of Germans in the 1930s. The issue of the HHS mandate telling Catholic institutions that they must provide health care, including abortifacients and sterilization and that and contraception is a chilling moment, and I've spoken about that publicly, and I think that we need to learn from the lessons of what happened to Germany, not just where they went eventually, but how they even started in that terrible direction when the church was bullied by the government. So there's so many things there, but it's not just for the current president. It's really for anyone, especially anybody in public office.
If Bonhoeffer were with us today and he could observe what has occurred for the last 39 years in the United States post Roe v. Wade, what would he say about how we fail to protect the unborn in law?
Well, I quote this in the Bonhoeffer book. I quote what he says about abortion. He says abortion is murder. Bonhoeffer says that. And Bonhoeffer, however, is also very gracious toward those who participated in it. He doesn't simply condemn them. He says that many people have been led down this path by difficult circumstances and whatever. So he clearly says that it's wrong. Not just a little bit wrong, but it's murder. But he also shows grace, and I think that we and I talk about this a little bit in the speech. Folks who have watched the speech already know this, but I say that it's important for us to see that this is wrong, and that these unborn human beings are human beings. At the same time, somehow we have to have grace in dealing with those on the other side of the divide, because, you know, if we're too hateful, if we're at all hateful, we do not glorify God. So we've got to fight with passion, but somehow we've got to fight God's way, not our way. That's a very tricky thing, and I think the Bonhoeffer story helps us to see how that's possible, and especially the Wilberforce story, I talk about Wilberforce and the slave trade, shows us how it's possible to fight passionately for what is right, but in a way that honors God and does not bring shame to the gospel.
Now, when you made that allusion to the unborn in your speech, and you ended with the question, you know, who do we disregard today as not fully human? And then you said, discuss that among yourselves. There was a smattering of laughter. But I think the point was made. I think it was. Could you read the audience at that point as to whether they got what you were saying?
Well, I mean, I think, again, there's a lot there. And a lot of times my humor, anybody who knows me, who's watched me at Socrates in the City, which is a speaker's series I do in Manhattan where I introduce speakers, my humor often is cutting in both directions at once because I think that I don't want to be ham-fisted. And I think, you know, when I said, who do we say is, actually, I misspoke. I said whom when I should have said who. So let me correct myself publicly. But I said, who do we say is expendable today? Who is subhuman today? Who's not human? Who do we say? And I said, discuss amongst yourselves, because, you know, it's sort of a bitter joke, but it's that I don't need to say the answer, because we know, many people in that audience knew who I was talking about whom I was talking. Let me say that correctly. So I think that it cuts both ways, but when people listen to it, different people listening to it will take away different things. And that's what I think would happen with Mark Joseph, is that he has a certain reading of it, which is a little different from somebody else's reading, but I thought nonetheless a very, very valuable reading. The piece he wrote was just amazing to me.
One thing you did here, Eric, and I find it just incredibly difficult to do, but you managed to pull it off in the brief 30 minutes that you had the microphone there at the National Prayer Breakfast. And you've spoken about it many times in our conversation. I'd like you to end with this, if you would. We live in probably as highly a charged political atmosphere right now as this country has seen, with few parallels. And the passion, both for this president and against this president, is sometimes over the top. The passion against him can only be described as he is demonized. And somehow you managed to stand 4 feet away from him and say some things that I imagine even his closest advisors would fear to say to him. And you did it in a way that I think the president might actually have been able to hear. Talk about the value of approaching this or any other president with whom we strongly disagree on serious moral issues with that kind of care and that kind of humor. About a minute here.
Well, I really think that if you show somebody the love of Jesus, it makes it possible for them to hear something that they might otherwise not want to hear. And I think that if you only show love and you never speak what needs to be said, that's not good. But if you only speak what needs to be said and don't show the love, so that you kind of score points with yourself, say, hey, I said it. But we really need to try to communicate. And I believe that the Lord gave me a love for these people because he loves these people. And even though I disagree with them on so many things, I think the best way I can communicate what needs to be said is with the love of the Lord, to show the love of the Lord. The Lord commands us. He doesn't suggest it. He commands us somehow to love our enemies. That's really, and I say this in my talk, that's what separates the sheep from the goats. That's what separates dead religion from a faith in the living God, Jesus Christ. And that's something that we are under a burden to tell the difference, that God doesn't say, well, some people will get it and some won't. No, we are commanded to get this. And only by his grace can we get it. And I said that over and over in the talk, and I simply think it's true. For me, it was a holy opportunity. I tremble because it's an opportunity before God, not just in front of the President of the United States, but before God, to say what God would have me to say. And all I can say is if I did it by his grace. And as I say, people can watch the thing and they can determine for themselves what they saw. Again, I'll suggest they go to my website, just because there's a number of links to some of the articles we've referenced. So that's just my name, ericmetaxas.com. But there's a lot there, and I pray the Lord uses it to bless anybody who sees it.
Eric Metaxas is a Yale University grad, author of the book Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Martyr, Prophet, Spy, and speaker at last week's National Prayer Breakfast. You'll find a link to the National Prayer Breakfast address at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Eric, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure, my privilege. Thank you so much.
Speaking of the National Prayer Breakfast, tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk about several of the Bible passages that were quoted by the president in his address during the National Prayer Breakfast. Our guest, Dr. Peter Scare of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. Our Issues Etc. book of the month, very briefly, for this month, February, is called Pastors and Elders. It's more than just a manual. It's actually a theological treatment of the pastoral office and the laity in service of the church together. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for Pastors and Elders. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.